this began when I first read the book a dozen years ago, but actually began before that, because in 1985, I produced a film called Joshua Then and Now, which was based on another one of Mordecai Richler's novels, for which he wrote the screenplay. And since then, he and I sort of became friends. And so when he sent me Barney's version and before it was published, and the journey really began as I was about a third of the way through the book, and I found myself laughing and occasionally with tears in my eyes, and I realized I was witnessing, sort of, I was reading the magnum opus of a great writer who would also become a friend. And long before I finished reading the book, I was determined to bring it to the screen. And as I said earlier, when we introduced the film, the plan was for Mordecai to write the screenplay, as he had done for all his previous film, The Apprenticeship of Larry Kravitz and Joshua Then and Now. But that was not to be. And his passing turned this into perhaps the biggest challenge of my filmmaking career, in that I found myself on the one hand alone with this mission, but also with a greater absolute determination to make this into, to give this my very best shot and make this into the best film that I possibly could, because it was now about honoring his memory and the integrity of his work. But he wasn't around, so to find a writer who could impersonate his voice and find cinematic language for what was a novel that relied heavily on literary devices. And that process took a long time, and years into it, after several writers had come and gone, Richard Lewis, who I had worked with many years before on a film called Whale Music, and we were both a lot younger, him especially, which he directed and I produced, joined me in this enterprise. And then after that, we finally sort of found the writer who came up with a way to tell this story. This is a big book. It's almost 500 pages long, and it has all kinds of subplots that are not in the movie and characters who are not in the movie. So the challenge was to sort of zero in on the essence of this man's life, of Barney Ponofsky's life, that which was really the heart of the matter, and give up with great pain all kinds of juicy, wonderful, funny scenes and characters which simply just didn't fit into the two-hour format. And so that was, that's sort of the headline description of this journey until we finally got there. And then we could turn our attention to that which truly matters the most, which is finding the only people you're ever going to see, which is the actors who really have to carry the burden on their shoulders of telling the story and creating flesh and blood on what is words on paper. And we got him.
I wanted to ask you, this is your second film that you've made with Robert, and your second feature film, correct? So what was it like to work with actors such as Paul Giamatti and Dustin Hoffman, Rosamund Pike, and Minnie Driver? I mean, it's a pretty fantastic cast.
It was very good.
Very good?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, a pleasure. I mean, they say, the expression is that casting is 80% of my job. So once you get thespians like these guys on the boards and they're working, and you basically create an environment for them to do their thing, and then you kind of step out of the way and you let them do their thing.
And so one of the things I think is most special about this film is the relationship between Barney and Miriam. How did you approach directing that, and how did you
Well, I mean, we had some rehearsal. We rehearsed of weeks, principally concentrating on Barney and Mary. And so, we would work the important scenes we were careful not to overwork them, but these guys are actors that like to explore, and they like the rehearsal process of them, right? And so, you know, we had a good time. You know, we just discovered some things that we were able to use. Some things we took to the floor, you know, with us. Some things we discarded. But I think, you know, the love story was at the core, the apex of this thing. So we wanted to concentrate on that, in that relationship.
And Paul, what was it like to portray a character at so many different stages of his life?
Well, that was... what I liked about it the most when I first read it was this 30-year stretch of time. It was hard. The hardest thing was to play younger, because I don't really remember what it was like to be 25. It's all a blur. And I had to wear wigs and stuff, and I didn't know if it would work or not. Playing old, and the character is kind of more fun when he's older. He's loosened up a lot more, and he doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks about him. And something was easier about looking forward than looking back. I don't know, because that's gone. That's in the rearview mirror, and that's the age is coming up. And I feel it more than I remember being young. So I don't know. But playing the old man was really kind of wonderful. And I got to wear wonderful makeup, which helps a lot and does a lot of work for me. But yeah, the old man was quite wonderful to play.
Can ask you sort of a silly acting technique question. How does one, as an actor, act drunk? I'm just kind of curious, because this is now not the first film you've been able to
No, play. It's not the first film I've been drunk in. No, it's not the first time I've had to play a drunk.
Yeah.
I've played lots of drunks in my life. I've played lots of drunks. I don't know why the hell I'm always playing drunks. I remember what it's like to be drunk.
Yeah.
You know, I've been drunk a few times in my life. So, you know, there's that. You know, it's a tricky thing. It's everybody gets drunk in an individual way. I mean, it matches who you are, how you're going to get drunk. This guy, it needed to be funny a lot of the time, the drunkenness. So it needed to be a bit more of a kind of, when he's drunk the whole movie, but he's just more drunk sometimes. I mean, he's drinking all the time, so he's always got a buzz on. So then he gets more hammered. Yeah, that was a tricky thing. I mean, you had to work with me a lot to sort of get the level of it right, and get the humor of it too. I mean, it couldn't be kind of dark drunk, which I've done in other things, unpleasant dark drunks. And, it depends on what it is, you know. But most of the time, the basic thing to remember playing a drunk is that they don't want to appear to be drunk, or at least that's the kind of tension you should have as a drunk. So you're doing everything possible to appear not to be loaded when you are.
We sort of had the drunk meter.
Oh.
So like, you
drunk
know,
comedy?
Yeah, there's like the dial in, dial it up, dial it down. We do one take that was more drunk, one take that was less drunk. But I mean, the specific, as Paul said, the specific type of drunk, the way the guy would get.
But you do it very well.
Thanks a lot, man.